as medical or legal advice. An appearance on this platform is not necessarily an endorsement, but as always, we encourage you to do your own research. Enjoy the show. Good afternoon, Patriots, and welcome back to another episode of Occam's Razor. Hope everyone out there is having a lovely day. Thank you so much for joining us. Myself and Al Kaelin, Uncensored Abe, the man, the myth, the legend. You know him. You love him. He's here every Thursday helping me break down the latest of what's happening. Kind of a mixed bag today. Got an announcement on President Trump's announcement. You've got news coming out of Brazil, news coming out of Arizona, news coming out of San Francisco in the David DePape trial. Stuff is getting weirder and weirder. Also, there is word out about a brand new election system deployed by the federal government that would have given them, the deep state, the opportunity to track real-time election data. Kind of sounds like the thing that would make it easier for them to steal the election. But, you know, of course, that's a conspiracy theory. That doesn't happen here in America. Election fraud is a myth. Thank you, Barack Obama. All right, guys. Without further ado, do me a favor. Sit back, relax, grab your popcorn, and Abe and I will be right back after this. All right, welcome back to the program, and welcome back, my co-host on this and every Thursday, Uncensored Abe. Abe, how are you, brother?
It's great to be back with you and your great family over here. I see all your great Patriots working in their way in over there on Rumble and on Foxhole and everywhere else. Much love to all you guys out there. Hopefully you guys are having a wonderful Thursday as well, getting into the festive mood of Festivius. I am so looking forward to Ron Paul's, Festivius and the rest. I can't wait is it Ron or Rand? I can't remember who is it, Rand?
It's Rand. Well, yeah, it's yeah. Rand Paul, his annual list of grievances. I got yes. A lot of grievances with you people. I loved
Seinfeld. That's right. No soup for you. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to, just kind of hanging with the family through the holidays. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of great Patriots out there that are kind of feeling the effects of this long battle, and a lot of weary Patriots out there that are really concerned about the future. So I'm kind of looking forward to just reminding everybody about where we were, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, and how hopeless it was in 2013, 2014, Barack Obama stole an election. Yeah. So it's been a ride for a lot of us, and you guys stay strong and stay healthy, focus on your mental health, and keep yourself, not too engaged in everything to where you're losing a grasp of what's important, like maybe I have in some ways. So it's great to see you guys out there. Factor Fear, Keep True, Debbie Roush, the Joyful Lily, Hang Tens out there. Bunch of great Patriots out there today. Much love and God bless you all.
Abe, something you said there, I can personally relate to that. And this is a subject that we have spoken about on this program before. But the idea of what social media is doing to people, what this necessity, this need, this desire, this addiction to constantly be online and be connected in some way to these networks, and the constant approval that comes along with it. And we actually have this article here pulled up from The Federalist, and it's entitled Social Media is Making You a Worse Person, which, it kind of goes along with my own personal theory about this stuff. And it's one of the reasons that I try not to exist solely on social media. It's like you work, you do exactly what you need to do. You got to go in there on the comments and, see what people are talking about and what people are doing. Obviously, with our research, it's a huge part of that. But, there are certain people who just very recently I decided to just kind of do an informal survey to see how much time they were spending on social media. And I swear there are some people out there who are on it like 24 hours a day. Like, I don't know how they're getting anything else done in the real world. And that leads to some real life sickness, I believe. And, you know, I mean, I don't say this because I want to denigrate anybody. I certainly don't want to, you know, put you down in any way. I'm concerned about the future of humanity. And that's, you know, that's kind of the baseline for everything on this show. You know, what social media is doing to us is really, really dangerous. And, you know, the article itself is written it's an excerpt from a new book. It's called The Weaponization of Loneliness. And that title right there, I think that is a fairly accurate summation of what social media does to people. Because as we've said so many times before, in this technologically enhanced world, you know, we are more connected to people in this like superficial way. But at the same time, we are so disconnected. We are so lonely. It's like we're not in our communal groups anymore. And it's just gotten worse since the pandemic.
It is. Let me highlight the key parts of this article for you. And let's kind of kick this around a little bit with everyone out there in chat, because I'm guilty of it as well. I mean, partially because, you know, I want to be as well informed as I can. I don't want to come off like an idiot or uninformed or miss something. Right. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are like that too. And a lot of people are just so engaged in the battle that this is what they can do. So, it kind of wraps them, you know, it wraps them into it. Right. And as you all know, if you've done the dig, the foundation of social media is from DARPA. It is a mass control experiment gone wrong. And that's why you see a mass psychosis out there of, you know, of people at each other's throats, of not able to have a discussion and so forth and so on. But let me just summarize this. Through a constant feedback loop of likes, comments, and reposts, social media is reconstructing our personas. This is an article in Today's Federalist, Social Media Makes You a Worse Person by Georgie Borman. It's a full 8-minute read, so we're not going to go through all of it today, but we did want to highlight some of the things in here like this. Destroying self-regulation. What happens when we don't have personal relationships in real life, but become dependent on these shallow substitute connections forged on social media?
Yes. Yes.
Ponder that question for a second, right?
Now, she coins a phrase, okay, which I feel like I'm going to add to my lexicon. Pseudo intimacy. Okay, the idea that social media preys upon your loneliness, your desire to connect to people. And what does that do? That leads you into the arms of disinformation agents and what she titles social media engineers. These are people who exist almost solely on social media. They have no real identity other than what they present to you, and they deliver information to you in a targeted fashion, either to elicit a reaction from you, either to get their own likes and retweets and whatever it might be. But it's this like feedback loop. And it's really sad because, quite honestly, you know, some of the most successful people on social media are not successful because of they have like the right intentions or because they have good information. But it's only about the emotion that they are able to elicit in people. And if that's rage bait, that's rage bait. If that's hopium, that's hopium. I am not denigrating anyone in particular. I'm not trying to call anybody out. This is just a generalization that, I mean, I think pretty much everybody can agree with.
You know, it's the biggest part of why I deleted Facebook off the beginning, because I was watching as all my loved ones and people that I knew put on these personas online that were just a figment of their imagination of who they really were. And it was a creation of who they would like to be. And it became where people became just so fake, you know, and I was so frustrated with it all. I was like, what happened to the times where you'd pick up the phone and call somebody or something like that? You know, we've completely lost that. Curating one's persona is the next section on this. Obviously, our increasingly polarized perceptions influence the things we say and don't say, but that constant feedback from likes, reposts, and replies isn't just keeping us in the app. It's remaking us into a different persona that is more optimized for social media and less optimized for face-to-face personal relationships. It's such a huge point, bro.
No, absolutely. You know, and this is what you just said there about getting off of Facebook. That had a large part for me personally of why I got off of Facebook years ago too. You know, specifically, the thing that really kicked it off for me was I shared a research paper about the efficacy of the MMR vaccine. And it was during the measles outbreak out in Disneyland in California. And all these people were saying, these anti-vaxxers, you know, they've given my kids measles. And if it wasn't for people like them, we wouldn't even have measles anymore. And so I was just like, hey, guys, you know, people I went to high school with, people I knew really well. And I said, hey, take a look at this research paper. You know, there's a 99% chance that you're going to contract measles or transmit the measles if you take the MMR vaccine. So it doesn't have anything to do with whether or not you've gotten the vaccine. And people attacked me. You know, they were so angry that I would say anything that was outside of the potential, you know, bubble of what is okay to talk about. You know, immediately calling me an anti-vaxxer, immediately calling me anti-science. You know, this was before President Trump was in office, you know. And I said, hey, you know, this is a study from the NIH, the freaking NIH, you know. I mean, like, what else are you supposed to trust? Okay, just take a look at it. But the truth is, you know, beyond just people's quick gut reaction to dismiss things that they believe are outside of their allotted thought processes, you know, that persona that I saw people crafting was very obvious to me. And it also became obvious to me that it was designed to make you feel worse about yourself. You look at these fake people online, their Instagram stories or their Facebook posts, and they're only taking pictures of the best moments of their life. You lose all of the nuance. You don't hear about any of the stuff that's really happening in between those moments. Great, you had a nice meal. That's awesome. Great, you went on vacation. Okay, maybe I can't afford to go on vacation. So now I feel like a piece of shit because I'm not as good as you. You know, and I see that happening all over the place. I have heard people saying that to me. You know, why can't I be that way? Why can't my life be like that? You know, but I would.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you go ahead. You go ahead.
So there's a phenomenon that you're watching on Truth right now, which is very interesting to play out among all of us patriots who have been, you know, put in our own corners of the internet. Remember that now, that we've all been separated in our own little areas and only been able to interact with certain segments. And so, you know, we become so in our own little bubbles and spaces that when we get outside of that, you realize that there's a lot other different perspectives and things that are out there that maybe you didn't see before. And that changes your perception of what you have come to determine your truth, not the one objective truth, but more about your truth, utterly dependent on feedback. What you see happen is people who were cued or people who were highlighted by some of the great patriots that are in our movement that have major followings, that have also gained major followings. You'll see some people who will get massive likes and retweets.
Yeah.
And the utterly dependent on feedback. The idea of this, the reconstruction of the self via online world is utterly dependent on this feedback. If you watch somebody who puts good information out there but doesn't get any kind of retweets or likes or feedback from it, but then you watch somebody put out there the most fantastical ideas and watch as those go, people tend to gravitate towards somebody who has a bigger following or a red check or something like that. And then they reinforce that information that maybe not be the best information out there because they want the feedback.
It's true. It's absolutely true. And Elaine a few moments ago said, you know, yep, that's my life, Zach. What I want you guys to recognize more than anything else is that you, as a child of God, are more valuable than you can possibly understand. Okay, maybe you realize this, maybe you don't. Maybe you are looking at other people's pictures and their social media profiles and the number of likes, their analytics, and you're thinking, you know, gosh, I wish I could be like that. Don't worry about it, okay? I know that for some people it's going to be difficult, but what I want you to focus on is remembering the good stuff that's in your life and the things that you have that truly are valuable, the things that truly make you worthwhile, and the people who are around you who actually love you are real, and the people online are not necessarily even real. You will probably make some incredible friendships, some incredible connections with people, all right? But ensure that you know who those people are and that you are not getting sucked into one of these influence operations. That is most important there. Listen, do you have any other thoughts on this, Ava? Because I kind of want to leave it there and then...
let's move on from it. One owns Hype Man is the other section. Influencers who get the most likes, just like we just kind of talked about, is this next section on this. That kind of finishes up. Georgie does a great job of highlighting the book and the idea of what's happening to us in our societies. We are all in our own little bubbles. If we don't understand that, if you can't accept the very simple foundation that none of us has a freaking clue about what's really going on anywhere, and we are all in our own little bubbles of reality, that is a foundational acceptance of truth seeking, in my opinion.
Richard Dollar over on Rumble wanted to know, did I talk about the number of Chinese bots out there before? I have definitely spoken about the millions of Chinese bots that are out there. You know, the Chinese have created very sophisticated influence operations. They have real people, and then they have armies of bots, and then they have armies of phone bots, accounts that just like automatically are posting the same thing or that are looking for different subjects to post on and get you to click and rage bait. And it's not just the Chinese. The Chinese probably has the largest operation just by virtue of the population they have. But you can look at any intelligence agency on planet Earth, and they also have very sophisticated AI programs that are going to be working on this stuff. Just
real quick, brother. Yeah. Foxhole is taking a dive on you. I dropped a link for Rumble in there for all of you guys that are having a problem over on Foxhole. So there you go.
Oh, no, that's not cool. Foxhole, you guys, well,
Matt's on top of it.
Okay. All right. Thanks guys. Looks like Matt said they're having problems with folks who use AT&T. You guys want to hear something crazy? AT&T has been blocking me from searching for websites that I know are online that I can go to, like, through a different method. They are stopping me from searching for certain words. I can't even believe it. And I said this before, like, I don't have like a ton of options for good internet here. In order for me to be able to stream and know that it's going to work, I have to get fiber optic internet. I can't just trust DSL or something like that because it's just not reliable enough. This actually doesn't surprise me. Kind of crazy. All right. Before we get into the meat of the meal with the Carrie Lake lawsuit and the Sonny Borelli lawsuit, I wanted to talk about President Trump's special announcement. And I hope that everybody here did not get their hopes up in any spectacular way. I know that there are people out there who made wild speculation and predicted that President Trump was going to do this or that. I didn't say this publicly, but yesterday in a private chat, I said, watch, it's, you know, President Trump says that he's, we need a superhero. It's going to be a Saturday morning cartoon with an accompanying comic book or graphic novel hardcover set. And it in fact turned out to be President Trump's NFT card set. So this is literally the Trump card. And I know that Praying Medic said there was a 1700 Delta on there. I haven't verified that myself. I just saw that somebody mentioned it in the chat. But NFTs, these are essentially, I mean, you know, I don't know. I'm not all that hot on NFTs, okay? Like, it's crypto. It's a non-fungible token. It's essentially a work of art that is minted in such a way so that it can be verified, like, either in a numbered set or it's the only one. It goes into your crypto wallet, and that's really all it is. But people are buying them for, like, you know, whole Ethereums and stuff like that. So President Trump might have a moneymaker here, and I know that there are crypto bros out there who are going to want this stuff. Melania already did an NFT set about a year ago or so. So kind of surprised it took President Trump this long to get into it. But yeah, it's definitely not the earth-shattering announcement that people were thinking.
I mean, I want it too. I'm just having a hard time paying for gas, groceries, electric, and everything else with the way that Democrats do things, you know. So every single time Democrats are in power, they target the middle class, and it's an obvious tactic that they use to keep people from trying to be able to get ahead and keep them dependent on the government. It's the same old shit over and over again. Mm-hmm. The reason why I wanted to highlight that Federalist article today, or reason why we found it interesting, I should say, is because of the expectations in our community that are constantly raised by people. And it's unfortunate to me. I talk about this on my show a lot. So it's almost a lie to me culture. And, you know, instead of holding to account people who mislead you, they just continue to get lied to and continue to watch the same people. It's very frustrating phenomena that I see happen out there. And if there's people out there that are allowing their expectations to get raised to a point where they have unreasonable expectations about what they are expecting about a certain event or an announcement or whatever it may be, then that is on themselves. It should be on you to manage your own expectations about what you see or expect to happen. If you have a hard time managing your own expectations, even given what you may hear from content creators or whoever it may be, Cash or Dan or even Trump, you have to find a way to level yourself out. You have to find a way to not let social media create that emotional reaction that we were kind of talking about at the beginning of the show, Red Pill.
Yeah, no, you're totally right. You know, I mean, like this, we said so many times that unfortunately people feel they've been rug pulled. They feel that they've been taken advantage of. And, you know, this gets reinforced when people that are in positions of authority like do and say this. But if you if all you do is temper your expectations and you just allow yourself to accept whatever it is that's going to be, it makes it a lot easier to deal with it, and you're not let down by anything. You know,
I mean, hey, Sarah, Sarah. Yeah,
whatever will be. So, all right. So, talking about expectations, I guess let's go ahead and get to the lawsuits in Arizona. The Carrie Lake's first hearing for her case was on Tuesday, and wouldn't you know it, Katie Hobbs didn't even show up. Abe, did you happen to catch any of the hearing?
Sorry. A lot of chat is still really upset about Trump. And let me just try to address this a little bit before we pivot to that.
Okay.
I understand that everyone is expecting President Trump to be the savior and the hero that's going to come save us because of what he has created expectations around him and what Q has created as expectations of what we expect to happen. Those are expectations that are not based in reality. So look, if you're disappointed, if you're upset with President Trump, I'm kind of annoyed by it too, right? I mean,
It's useless. I mean, yeah. It's not helping anybody. And you're what you said before, like, you know, I'm not buying any Trump NFTs. I don't have any disposable income to buy a digital JPEG. You know, I mean, like I will copy it from the internet if I really want a copy of it.
Yeah, it's going to get printed on my $5 printer paper here and I'll get put on the wall that way. So I understand. But look, don't allow it to be like, I'm done with Trump now. Don't allow it to get an overreaction out of you. That is what we're trying to manage here today. But anyways, to the hearing, which one are we talking about here now?
Well, we're talking about the hearing from Tuesday. And Katie Hobbs did not show up. You know, Carrie Lake has an impressive amount of evidence here. And I've heard a couple of different pundits kind of ruminating on the possibilities here. You know, if I had to guess, simply from what I've seen, from the attention that's been paid to it, from the evidence that she's been able to put together, this is probably the strongest argument for election fraud that I've ever seen. You know, yes. I mean, there are just so many different pieces here, so many obvious attempts by the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors to thwart the people of Maricopa from being able to vote, to disenfranchise them, and to ensure that Democrats would win this election. I mean, you know, whether it's the machines failing after they were tested successfully, or the super PAC that Stephen Richer put together, or the Runback Election Services whistleblower talking about hundreds of thousands of ballots with no chain of custody, or it's the special AI program that they had matching signatures, which allowed signatures that were essentially scribbles or even blanks to be counted as legal votes. I mean, come on. The evidence is overwhelming here. And I think that so they have like 3 days, I believe, to present their evidence. I don't know that Katie Hobbs is even going to give this lawsuit any attention. I mean, it's like she has other people essentially handling her business for her on it. She's the entire time, whether during the election, you know, she just acted like Carrie Lake didn't exist. You know, she didn't want to talk about her. She didn't want to debate her. She didn't want to share a stage with her. She knew that if anybody saw her and Carrie Lake on stage together, she was going to get her ass kicked. And Carrie Lake was going to hand it to her with the issues on a platter. And Katie Hobbs was not going to be a successful candidate. That would have, you know, really done a lot to destroy her image. But now,
yeah.
Yeah, now she's been certified. She illegally certified herself, as far as I'm concerned. She's got a conflict of interest. And, it's really going to come down to the judge. I did a little bit of research on the judge. One of my viewers sent me some research on the judge. But still, I don't know enough about his political leanings or decisions that he's made in the past to really be able to draw any conclusions about which way he might go on this.
Less concerned about that because the appeals court will be involved. President Trump apparently got the feedback from everybody on his truth and put out about a 7-minute announcement today calling for an Internet Bill of Rights and the lack of free speech and a discussion about that. I'm glad he did that because, an obvious reply to everyone's being upset about it. Anyways.
So wait a second. Are you saying that after he made his announcement about the NFTs, he put out this video calling for an Internet Bill of Rights? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So, the laying the foundation for digital NFTs is also really interesting too. That angle of that is nice as well. But anyways, I want to go watch that now. But anyways, Carrie Lake. Okay. The key parts of the lawsuit that Tracy Beans broke down, I'm sure many of you may have seen Tracy Beans' thread either on Twitter or Telegram or on Truth. She did a great breakdown of a piece-by-piece breakdown of Carrie's lawsuit. And the lawyers that are behind Carrie are basically hit a home run, in my opinion. I'm just an amateur, but I looked at the Brunson case. It's not going to get accepted. It's going to go away. This case has every foundation of what you need to have this at least be addressed by the courts. It's not going to be instantly thrown out. It's not going to go off on some, cross T or dotted I, like a lot of these other things that have gone with infiltrators under Sidney Powell's watch, for instance. I don't know if a lot of you guys know that out there, but that's true. So the foundation, anyways, the point I'm trying to say is the foundation of Carrie's lawsuit is very, very solid. It addresses the civil rights angle and her personal harm of her own rights being affected, which is also extremely important. And then also, like you said, the angles of the signature matching, the mail-in ballots and the lack of chain of custody on them. Those two things are foundational in the laws in Arizona. So you can't, there's no excuse to go around those things, right? There's nothing that's going to hide them in an appeals court or in a higher court, even if the lower court decides to ignore the law in Arizona, like many other places have. Yeah. So I see a lot of positives in this. The run back side of it, especially the run back whistleblower, that's more than just Arizona. That again, this is the tip of the iceberg in the bigger picture of what this all lays out. And I think we're watching it be rolled out to the American public for them to see in their own two eyes that they're, half the country believes that we have some kind of legitimate election. They're going to go through a lesson here over the next 6 months to a year and learn the truth about our elections.
You know, my one concern, this is what I have on screen right now, Brooklyn. I wasn't going to necessarily play it because it is almost 7 minutes long. But tell you what, listen, we'll take a break for the second half of the show. We'll come back and we'll watch the video together. Oh, there we go. Okay, let's go ahead and watch the video.
If we don't have free speech, then we just don't have a free country. It's as simple as that. If this most fundamental right is allowed to perish, then the rest of our rights and liberties will topple just like dominoes, one by one. They'll go down. That's why today I'm announcing my plan to shatter the left-wing censorship regime and to reclaim the right to free speech for all Americans. And reclaim is a very important word in this case because they've taken it away. In recent weeks, bombshell reports have confirmed that a sinister group of deep state bureaucrats, Silicon Valley tyrants, left-wing activists, and depraved corporate news media have been conspiring to manipulate and silence the American people. They have collaborated to suppress vital information on everything from elections to public health. The censorship cartel must be dismantled and destroyed, and it must happen immediately. And here's my plan. First, within hours of my inauguration, I will sign an executive order banning any federal department or agency from colluding with any organization, business, or person to censor, limit, categorize or impede the lawful speech of American citizens. I will then ban federal money from being used to label domestic speech as mis- or disinformation. And I will begin the process of identifying and firing every federal bureaucrat who has engaged in domestic censorship, directly or indirectly, whether they are the Department of Homeland Security, the Department of Health, Human Services, the FBI, the DOJ, no matter who they are. Second, I will order the Department of Justice to investigate all parties involved in the new online censorship regime, which is absolutely destructive and terrible, and to aggressively prosecute any and all crimes identified. These include possible violations of federal civil rights law, campaign finance laws, federal election law, securities law, and antitrust laws, the Hatch Act, and a host of other potential criminal, civil, regulatory, and constitutional offenses. To assist in these efforts, I am urging House Republicans to immediately send preservation letters, and we have to do this right now, to the Biden administration, the Biden campaign, and every Silicon Valley tech giant, ordering them not to destroy evidence of censorship. Third, upon my inauguration as president, I will ask Congress to send a bill to my desk revising Section 230 to get big online platforms out of censorship business. From now on, digital platforms should only qualify for immunity protection under Section 230 if they meet high standards of neutrality, transparency, fairness, and non-discrimination. We should require these platforms to increase their efforts to take down unlawful content such as child exploitation and promoting terrorism while dramatically curtailing their power to arbitrarily restrict lawful speech. Fourth, we need to break up the entire toxic censorship industry that has arisen under the false guise of tackling so-called mis- and disinformation. The federal government should immediately stop funding all nonprofits and academic programs that support this authoritarian project. If any U.S. university is discovered to have engaged in censorship activities or election interferences in the past, such as flagging social media content for removal of blacklisting, those universities should lose federal research dollars and federal student loan support for a period of 5 years and maybe more. We should also enact new laws laying out clear criminal penalties for federal bureaucrats who partner with private entities to do an end run around the Constitution and deprive Americans of their First, Fourth, and Fifth Amendment rights. In other words, deprive them of their vote. And once you lose those elections, and once you lose your borders like we have, you no longer have a country. Furthermore, to confront the problems of major platforms being infiltrated by legions of former deep staters and intelligence officials, there should be a 7-year calling off period before any employee of the FBI, CIA, NSA, DNI, DHS, or DOD is allowed to take a job at a company possessing vast quantities of U.S. user data. Fifth, the time has finally come for Congress to pass a digital bill of rights. This should include a right to digital due process. In other words, government officials should need a court order to take down online content, not send information requests such as the FBI was sending to Twitter. Furthermore, when users of big online platforms have their content or accounts removed, throttled, shadow banned, or otherwise restricted, no matter what name they use, they should have the right to be informed that it's happening, the right to a specific explanation of the reason why, and the right to a timely appeal. In addition, all users over the age of 18 should have the right to opt out of content moderation and curation entirely and receive an unmanipulated stream of information if they so choose. The fight for free speech is a matter of victory or death for America and for the survival of Western civilization itself. When I am president, this whole rotten system of censorship and information control will be ripped out of the system at large. There won't be anything left. By restoring free speech, we'll begin to reclaim our democracy and save our nation. Thank you, and God bless America.
Root and stem. It sounds like President Trump's NFT announcement was a head fake. And my question is, people in the audience, how many times has President Trump done that before? How many times has he announced that something special was going to happen, and then something comes out, and then it turns out the real announcement is afterwards, or the real action is afterwards? I mean, that was classic Trump right there. Sounds like he learned his lesson from his first term in office. This is exactly what we need. What would this lead to, Abe? But I mean, mass arrests, if I can just say it plainly.
Yes. I mean, it would restore the rule of law if you held these people accountable for what they've done to violate my civil rights, for instance. Yeah. That would be great. If we could restore our right to privacy, you know, our right to a First Amendment, a Second Amendment, a Third Amendment, a Fourth Amendment, a Sixth Amendment, that'd be great. I would love to have that back in this country again in our constitutional republic.
Say it.
Anyways, no, I mean, it is well-informed, extremely well-informed about the truth about what's been happening on social media. It is well-placed with solutions, ideas, and guidance for people to take action on. And it is on point completely. And it is something that we have been calling about since QPost 560 or whatever the heck it was when we did the Internet Bill of Rights, when Ro Khanna tried to seize it from us.
Yeah.
And turn it into another censorship regime. That guy in California is one of the biggest snakes out there who tries to act like he is in our favor of free speech and in freedom in America. When really Ro Khanna did, the only thing he did was try to seize the solutions that we came up with in an Internet Bill of Rights that were common sense based on the feedback from platform owners as well as just average everyday patriots. And he tried to turn that into a piece of garbage that ended up going nowhere. So keep an eye out for that Ro Khanna guy, by the way, too.
Yeah. And, you know, and he hit all of the bullet points. I mean, everything that we possibly could be interested in. I can't think of another thing I would add to that wish list. So, you know, the only thing, and I saw people say it in the chat, is, you know, oh, great, we got to wait for you to get elected again. You know, so we'll have to see how this plays out. But, you know, I got to believe between the Carrie Lake lawsuit, this Sonny Borelli lawsuit, you know, any number of other lawsuits that are coming and actions that we as the American people can take over the course of the next 2 years, we have the opportunity to fundamentally change this country in a positive way. And I believe Donald Trump will be president again.
I believe so, too. And the best part, that's what I was getting ready to go. The best part about it was successfully triggering everybody who can't stand him with,
yes.
When I get inaugurated, the first thing I'm going to do.
Oh, God. Yes. I can just see the coverage of this in the mainstream media right now. They're going to be so upset. Actually, let's take a look. Let's take a look and see. President Trump Internet Bill of Rights announcement. Maybe that's not what they're calling it, but. Losing the plot, Trump mocked after announcing superhero card collection, Twitter up in arms, calls to ban TikTok grow, Trump was right. Let me see. Let's see. We'll just look for Trump announcement. I wonder if they'll even have the courage to cover it.
All I see is 30,000 memes on Truth. Jeez.
Yeah.
Can we do something, you know, some actual feedback, some intellectual thought behind your posts? People, come on.
Yeah, all they're talking about is the NFTs. That's all they're talking about. Okay, well, we'll have to see how this one plays out. But I can imagine that they're probably going to be freaking out. All right, so when it comes to the Sonny Borelli lawsuit, this lawsuit is specifically on behalf of Mojave County. Now, where this is different, you know, Carrie Lake was suing as a private person. She's suing as a candidate. But Mojave County, I mean, it's the entire governmental body that is suing Maricopa County. And their lawsuit includes many of the same beats that Carrie Lake's lawsuit includes. I don't know if this is before a different judge or if it's a different jurisdiction. I can't tell you that. But it sounds like Kerry Lake's lawsuit was filed in Maricopa County, and Mojave County's lawsuit was probably filed right there in Mojave County. So that would right there put it in a different jurisdiction. But this one has, I think, even more teeth than Kerry Lake's lawsuit, because you've got all of the evidence, but then you've got the official governmental body aspect of it going after a neighboring county.
No doubt about it. I don't see any more really other feedback out there for President Trump. You know, it's everybody is in this one day I like you. The next day you say or do something I didn't like. So I hate you when you're a traitor to the country. It is. Yeah. Yeah. I don't understand it, man. You know, Marjorie Taylor Greene, for instance, was with us OGs in the beginning. All right. Mm-hmm. She is one of us. No questions asked. I don't care what the media article you read. I don't care what she said that you didn't like. I don't care what it is about there. For instance, just using Majori as an example, she is an OG one of us, period. So when you everyone's allowing all of these emotions and things, I don't like you. You're a traitor. We all have to do what we can to dial back on that and just woo-saw ourselves a little bit here.
I think you're absolutely right. You know, I mean, I certainly don't like that Marjorie is supporting McCarthy for Speaker of the House. But that may be a moot point at the end of the day. You know, yeah. I mean, like that may just be Marjorie publicly supporting Kevin McCarthy so that she doesn't butt heads with him before this new session begins. And then once she gets there on the day of, who says who she's going to vote for? We don't know. We're not in Marjorie's head. But, you know, you're absolutely right. People are too quick to just throw the baby out with the bathwater and not to consider the nuance of the situation or what other underlying factors might be taking place or happening behind the scenes. Something that I think is, you know, not ambiguous at all is this election system that I mentioned at the beginning of the show, the Albert sensor systems. This is an election system that allowed the DHS to have essentially like top-down monitoring of elections in every single place all over the country. It's not deployed everywhere, but it's deployed over 98% of the country. And it was conveniently installed after President Trump won in 2016. It was created around 2011. The Albert sensor is what it's called. It's specifically an intrusion detection system. And then, of course, after 2016, there was all the talk about Russians and everything. So they had to roll it out at that time. But the problem is nobody really knows how it works. Nobody really knows what it does. We can say that it does deliver election data to a nonprofit organization, which is who is actually monitoring this. It's CIS, the hang on, where is that right there? It's the Center for Internet Security, okay? And they work in conjunction with CISA and the Election Infrastructure Government Council. They all are getting funding from the DHS to do this work. You know, as somebody who is pretty skeptical about the powers of the government and the monitoring tools that they use, you know, this could very easily be used in conjunction with something like ERIC, which we've seen in a number of states and control just handed over to these Democrat organizations. And it would give them the opportunity to monitor, you know, what is happening with the votes. And if they need to stack votes in certain areas, then they could pretty easily do it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So to get back on track, yes, you know, in summary, for those of you guys out there, in my amateur crackerjack box lawyer opinion, Kerry Lake's lawsuit is very, very strong. And I think Tracy Beans did a great job of highlighting that. So I'm looking forward to that, to seeing what comes from that. We'll hear more on that. I think it's Friday, I believe. Is that correct?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, when we'll hear more about that. Chris Paul, I'm your moderator, did a great job last night on Twitter of breaking down the Sonny Borelli case. If you want, I can do just a quick summary of what he's got. Where's my Zoom screen? There it is. All right, here we go. Check it out, guys. Much love to all you guys out there. God bless you all. Thanks for being here with me today, guys. The voting strength of residents of Mojave County, Arizona was diluted and their constitutional rights were violated. This is the foundation of the lawsuit. And great job by Chris Paul breaking this down last night. This is going to take forever to get through, so I'm just going to summarize very, very quickly. He has a great breakdown, and I'll drop this link out there for you guys as well. The Arizona Attorney General has pointed out that such delegation is not authorized by Arizona law. No Arizona statute allows counties to outsource a role so crucial to computer software. The foundation of the certification of the machines is a pretty big foundation, but not the main foundation of Sonny's case. Maricopa County ran 1.3 million images on monitors past the eyes of a few dozen of its signature verifiers at such a rate, rapid clip, that it was physically impossible for them to verify delegated software adjudications about those images' reliability. Chris Paul and I had a quick discussion about this last night, and he agrees that, or he pointed out that the signature verifiers and the things that you were talking about earlier as well, Zach, are a key point of this that's going to be very important going forward. Why have all the communists all adopted the idea that following election law to the letter doesn't matter, especially if election officials will certify it anyway? Changes to the voting, great commentary, changes to voting procedures that disenfranchise certain voters are per se violation of the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment, even if the violation is well-intended or based on a simple negligence or ineptitude. A great point that is, you know, been the foundation of our constitutional system for a long time. Let's see if we can get back to any kind of version of the 14th Amendment as well. Mm-hmm. Nothing in Arizona election laws authorizes a county to outsource signature verification to a non-government third party, let alone that party's unproven and proprietary software. But that is exactly what Maricopa County decided to do. I'm regretting that my decision to proceed with using Versus Pro for the general and to be proven wrong that we won't have any issues. I put my name on that decision. And have it be the first file issue is beyond frustrating. The rest of it, that's kind of the vast majority of it. The AI voter signature verification, the software behind it, as well as the software behind the machine, Zach. It's a different angle than Abe is going. It's a different angle than Kerry is going. But all of the angles together are an all-in-one, not consolidated, but a wide-ranging attack at the legal side of all of this to just try to get, you know, address every angle possible, and we'll see what happens, right? Now it's in the hands of the courts, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, multi-pronged. That's all we can do. Just sit back, watch, see what happens, and hopefully it's going to turn out the way that it ought to. I mean, at this point, they have completely trampled all over election law. They act like it's only there for when they want to enforce something. You know, we say, hey, these are the rules. We're going to follow these, and this is how we're going to do it from here on out. But we don't care actually what the law says. They've got the power, and they've been able to delegate it up as they see fit. But that's not the way that it works. It just cannot continue to keep going along like this, because otherwise America is going to be lost. You know, going back to President Trump's announcement, you know, all of these tenets of the American way of life are uniquely what have come together to make this country great. And without those things, we are not America. You know, this is not going to be a free nation for very much longer. And I think a lot of people would argue that it's not a free nation as it stands right now. You know, we have been subverted. These people who have taken over our nation, they have no regard for the law. They have no regard for the rights of its citizens. They have no regard for our sovereignty. And they want to destroy every single one of those things completely. So, you know, here we are, and we just got to wait and see what happens. Kind of crazy.
Well, the good news is because of all of the hard work of activists for the past 20 years, the Tea Party movement and the Freedom Caucus has great legislation that include Internet Bill of Rights and address the issues in Section 230 already ready to go. It's just a matter of getting the people in place to, you know, solve some freaking problems in this country for once in our lives, instead of a dysfunctional DC that it has been for my whole life.
Okay. And the RNC is chief among those two. We've got to change the leadership at the RNC. And good news is that more calls are growing to get rid of Ronna Romney McDaniel, Mitt Romney's daughter. She should not be anywhere near the RNC. Have you heard of any other big names besides Mike Lindell that might throw their hat in the ring?
Yes, Harmeet Dillon is getting a lot of slack. Harmeet is close to is to my heart in a lot of different ways. She has been involved in some of the things that our group have been involved with, and legal things to help us as well. She has done things behind the scenes to help so many Patriots out there that nobody would even know. They would never know of all the things that Harmeet and her group has done to help the legal side of this battle. I think she's a great person. There's a lot of hit pieces out there about her as well. You know, in this world of who can you really know, who can you really trust, I get it. I'll just say what I know about Harmeet is she's been a great patriot and a fighter for all of us for a very long time.
Yeah, so Nebraska GOP, they have rescinded their endorsement of Ronna Romney. Arizona Republican Party rescinding their endorsement of Ronna Romney. And we may see some more rolling in here in the near future, because it looks like Ronna Romney may have been mismanaging funds from the Republican Party while she was sitting in that chair seat. Apparently, money spent on luxury items, private jets, an analysis of the spending from the RNC since 2017 shows that she has spent $500,000, more than $500,000 on private jets, $64,000 on clothing, $321,000 in floral arrangements, and the list goes on. I mean, we're talking about looks like stuff for her home, food and beverage, $65,000. You know, I don't know if that's for like, I don't know, a single event or a specific event. And LGBTQ filings, she's also spent $1,200 on that, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know what that means, the RNC. But the RNC is a freaking mess. And there's anything that I learned in Wisconsin getting close into the to where I was finally getting some traction anyways. I keep getting myself depressed when I think about it, because I worked so hard in Wisconsin to get a footing there, and now I can't do anything about it. Anyways, learning about Robin Voss, learning about the foundation of the Republican Party in Wisconsin, and watching as Robin Voss fixed his own election right in front of all of us. Yeah. We got a good lesson about how the Republican Party establishment, backed by Robin Voss and Paul Ryan and the big powers behind the Republican establishment. Ronna is kind of just a face to the party. The structure behind it is the Paul Ryan, Scott Walker, yep, Robin Voss. They have a lot of power in Wisconsin, more than you can ever imagine, and they also have a lot of power within the RNC, as you guys are all well aware of.
Listen to this figure: $17 million on donor mementos, like custom pins that they're passing out. That's a lot of freaking pins. I mean, that just sounds like money that could have been better spent other places. Like, what about, say, J.R. Majewski's race in Ohio? You know, if the RNC wanted to ensure that people running as Republicans won in some of these seats, then they would have injected more money into that. You know, think about how many races all across America could have benefited from that $17 million figure. That's absolutely just a stunning amount of money that seems has been wasted. And, you know, what's really a shame is that this is like such a familiar story, Abe. It's like every time somebody gets into a position of power and they're wielding all of this cash and, you know, just all of this cachet, unfortunately, they blow it. They absolutely blow it. She's done nothing to further the cause. All she's done is spend our money. You know, yeah. It's like I saw people are pissed every time they see a candidate putting out stuff there about WinRed. You know, well, yeah, I hate to break it to you, but like the campaign finance system is set up so that these people can siphon off your cash. OK, yep. And there's just really no way around it. This is definitely something that's got to be fixed.
I mean, the campaign finance reform is never going to happen, because that's just not going to happen. But we can do what we can with our money. Right. We can decide where we put our money. And that's part of what President Trump, I think, is trying to do with NFTs, with his own organization. I would love for President Trump's legacy to be a third party in this country. If we could get third party legitimacy in this country, then you can really start talking about breaking down the establishment of all of this. So I don't know, man. It's he's not going to win in 2024 if he relies on the Republican establishment and their money. That I do know for sure. So all of the criticism for President Trump and all he does to try to to fundraise and stuff, you got to do it somehow. And you got to play the game the way that DC plays it. If you don't play it the way they play it, you're going to be, you know, out in the pasture with everybody else.
I also want to talk about Brazil today, Abe. You know, I think we talked about this last week. You know, the situation of Brazil is just kind of it's unstable. And we don't have a lot of really good sources coming out of there. And I think that maybe there's something that's lost in the translation. But I can tell you a couple things that I'm fairly certain of. You know, since the beginning, Jair Bolsonaro has been kind of attacked as like the Brazilian Trump. OK, the media hated him. The left hates him. The world governments hate him. And the people of Brazil seem to love him. You know, the people of Brazil seem to be just as pissed off as the people of America, more so because they're out in the streets about the way the election was stolen and the way things have been going there. And so it's really no surprise that we're seeing some of the same behavior from the controllers over there in Brazil. There was reports earlier this week of people that were felons that were dressing up as Bolsonaro supporters. Now, the drug cartels are the ones who are backing Lula da Silva. OK, so they have no shortage of people to pull from that they can use as stooges. And so there were images that were revealed that showed the exact same thing that happened on January 6th here. Antifa dressing up as Trump supporters in D.C., cartel members dressing up as Bolsonaro supporters in Brazil and then setting fires. There was a bus that was set on fire. The government is coming down on Bolsonaro supporters as an excuse, you know, because they say, well, hey, all this stuff is happening. And of course, the same players who attack Trump and have said, you know, all kinds of scurrilous lies about him, places like The Guardian, I mean, they're also comparing the supporters of Bolsonaro in Brazil to January Sixers here in America. You know, obviously, that's the worst thing you can possibly be as an insurrectionist, Abe. So they've got to make that distinction there and draw that conclusion.
Yeah. But I see Tom Q Cat, Ibor memes got me banned. Hilarious. There's some OGs out there that remember the Ibor battles and the discussion about that. Sorry. Yeah. And you know what's interesting is there anybody out there listening right now that doesn't know what a color revolution is and doesn't know that our CIA pulled off a color revolution in Ukraine? Absolutely. Is anybody out there that's not aware of that? Because if you're not, open your mind to the idea and do your own research on the color revolution that happened in Ukraine with the help of our government and the Democrats in our government. Then you watch what happened here in America, where they had federal agents planted to cause this quote unquote insurrection. And now what do you see happening in Brazil after John Brennan has recently had discussions with people in Brazil, after the CIA has gone down there in the past year to have discussions with people, after people in our military have gone down there that are part of our woke globalist military, not the good side of our military, but the problem childs of our military. What all are these discussions that they're having down there? And what you're watching happen is what I saw written, I think, by a BBC journalist, ironically enough. No, it wasn't BBC. There's no way it was BBC. I can't remember who it was, but it was somebody over in Europe. And they said, you're watching a global coup d'etat. Mm-hmm. And yes, that's exactly what's happening right in front of our eyes. You're watching their last ditch effort for a global coup d'etat to install a one world government under the guise of the Great Reset and UN control. And, you know, as soon as we all accept that reality, that these people have enough power to literally rig an election right in front of you and buy off or threaten anybody who's going to make changes about what they want to happen, then we should probably get a little more understanding of the threats and the realities of the world that we live in right now. Because if we can't face that reality, of the reality that a global coup d'etat is happening, not just here in America, but all around the world. You know, you're watching riots in like seven different countries right now. Mm-hmm. Why do you think that is? It's because the vast majority of the people, the population, knows that they do not want any version of this communist, Marxist, Nazi agenda in their countries. The similar with, you know, an example of South America, of what's happened down there. So it's historic time to be alive.
It certainly is.
On the front lines of this battle between the good and evil that is And the evil is using all of us to get their agenda of control, to push it forward. And the amazing thing about it all is we're watching it all happen. And every single one of you guys out there that is here listening to us right now or in the fight in any kind of small way is affecting change in our world every single day. Don't ever deny everything you guys have done out there to affect change in our country every single day, because we are winning and we are affecting change, and we're not going to lose our country to a globalist regime. It's not going to happen, period.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. And I don't think Brazil is going to lose it either. Now, the courts are now saying that they're going to be investigating Bolsonaro. Now, this may be because they sense that tension on the streets. They understand that the people are not going to be going for this time. And of course, Bolsonaro's VP, he was a general. The military loves Bolsonaro. There's all kinds of rumors about the military stepping in. People are saying that if it happens, it's going to be very soon. And I would imagine it's probably going to coincide pretty nicely with any announcement that the court might make that they're planning to arrest Bolsonaro or put him in jail, because that really is the ultimate goal here. It's the same thing they want to do to Donald Trump. He is a danger to that global power structure. The people are a danger to that global power structure. They've got to subjugate the people. They've got to subvert the system. They've got to put the political opposition into jail. And that's the only way that it's going to work. But it hasn't happened yet. And Brazil has a real opportunity here in the same way that we do here in America. And, excellent rant there at the end, Abe, because everybody here is truly part of a phenomenon that has never before been seen in history. Let me go through the thank yous over here on the Foxhole. Daisy Chains dropped a phone, said, God bless. Loop to Loop, thank you for that cookie. Yellow Rose 55, thank you as well. Sean and On says, great topic, great discussion, fellas. Could practice a little lot of that myself. Just Duckies says, per X22, Trump just called for the free speech and a digital bill of rights. Yes, he did. Warrior Mima says, when I heard big announcement from Trump, I expected something more. Raising money, bypassing WinRed. Luann V says, thanks for helping make sense of the nonsensical. Just Duckies says, people need to understand that having faith in God means more than just expecting things to go the way they want them. That's absolutely true. Definitely 100%. Omazon, thank you for the gold pills. Nakaz says, El Trumpo laying down the law. A. Allen God wins. Thank you for the shades. Toria says, God bless Zach and Allen. And Famine says, great show, guys. Keep up the great work. Okay. Thank you very much for hanging out with us today, guys. Abe, go ahead and tell everybody where they can find you later today, and I'm going to pass out the gold pills.
Uncensoredata.com. Do me a favor, go to the website, book it for when you guys get a chance. If you ever need to get a hold of me, all of my information is on there. You can find all the streams. Because of my life events that many of you guys are aware of, all of your thoughts and prayers have been helping lift me up and helping to keep the lights on. And I gotta keep relying on you guys for that. Thank you all for that. Keep the prayers coming, because every day I've been falling and I've been needing your guys to help lift me up. So please keep those prayers coming my way over the holidays here. And every day, sometime I'll be live. I've been trying to stick to a schedule, but I've been testing different times out and deciding if I want to still continue to go up against Bannon, because he's freaking killing me. But anyways, you can always catch the replay. It's bookmarked on the website. Much love. Thank you all for the kind words and being here today. See you guys later tonight, 5 Eastern, 4 Central, uncensoredata.com. God bless you, Zach. Thanks for being here, bro.
God bless you as well, brother. Thank you for being here. Thank you to everybody out there in the chat. And I'll be back later today with another episode of Red Pill News. Until that time, actually, I'm sorry, 4 p.m. I have taken it back with 412 and Frank, and I'm going to do what I can to make another show after that. So until then, good luck and God bless. I'll see you on 412 Productions at 4 p.m. Eastern.